Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast where you'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope these stories inspire and energize you to take your business to the next level.
All right, Eric DeClark.
Casey Cunningham, how have you been?
Doing great, Casey. It is so good to see you. Again, thank you for having me.
What a blessing it is. I mean, we have gone through some crazy times together, right? Even though we're apart, we're together because we all got a mission, and that is to serve that consumer, love on them, take care of them. And so as an executive who's been in the middle of the trenches, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of the largest capacity challenges we're ever probably going to have in our lifetime, sort of give me an update. Let's go the past year. Here's a big one. You made some decisions. Are any of those decisions going to stay with you in the for the future?
Yeah, great question. And absolutely right. I mean, you know, we've been at this for 34 years. You've been at this a long time. And I've got to tell you, you know, you've just about seen everything until you saw what you saw last year.
Right.
So, you know, clearly, you know, I've been at our company for about 3 years, and we, you know, when I got here, we had kind of a scattered work from home program. It wasn't very functional. It was more of a retention issue and things along those points, but it wasn't functioning to the degree it needed to. Obviously, on March 16th, almost a little over a year ago today, at 3 p.m., we instantly transitioned back to, you know, working from home. So, you know, we had brought everybody back in and kind of retooled the company and gotten a lot of the basic and foundational issues back in place that needed to get in place. Mm-hmm. And thank God that we had spent that year. There's always a little luck in everything you do. And so, you know, when we sent everybody home, Casey, we sent them home at 3 o'clock. By 4 o'clock, we were back open for business and didn't skip a beat. I was humbled with the transition from home. And so, you know, the other mantra that we had was, you know, we focused on what we can control at the time, put the blinders on. There was so much noise around this thing. You didn't know what was coming. But if you let that consume you, you would have been frozen. So, you know, we put our blinders on and we spent a lot of time fully transparent with our team about what lay ahead, why we had to do this, what was in it, you know, for them and what we needed to do. We had thousands, you know, our company's affiliated with a real estate company. We had, you know, in March, Casey, we had 4,000 or 5,000 people that were under contract going towards listing or selling their home. We could not abandon those clients. We had to figure out a way to get them to completion. So, you know, I think that what's going to stick with us is as we come out of this now, we are definitely going to have some form of a hybrid, more technologically focused workplace, maybe in a hoteling capacity, in order to just maintain culture, camaraderie, and all of the nuances and benefits you get from when people are in a communal setting. And we have stuck with full transparency. There is not anything I don't know that our whole company doesn't know. We are in this together, and I'm a big believer in full transparency. So I think the work from home model, the tech model that we've installed, and full transparency is going to stick with us, and probably more of this media visual like you and I are doing here today. That was absent from our business, only for those that were comfortable. I think this is going to be a very big benefit if it doesn't become the only way we can do business as a nice add-on going forward.
Right. The new standard of actually seeing people on camera, you know, a year ago was, as you said, was somewhat absent. Has it helped your culture, hurt your culture, and or impacted it? How has it impacted
the team? Interestingly enough, day before yesterday, I hosted my first in-person staff meeting, a business review meeting, for those who wanted to come in. And there were people in the room that I had not physically seen for a year. But when I saw them and was able to give them a hug, I'm vaccinated, so I was able to give them a hug.
Sure.
It was like we never skipped a beat. So in the absence of that, and had we only had a telephonic environment, I think it would have been a much different experience. So I think that, you know, that this helped maintain our culture. You know, and culture was critical. And I think we had to let everybody know what's in it for them in this culture. Why do we have to do this? So it was fantastic, and it did maintain some of the cultural nuances that we had.
Now, are you meeting with your team more often? Because I heard transparency. So since the pandemic happened last March, were you talking to them already once a week, or have you started doing that more often than you did before?
We have moved into hyper engagement. That's a different word than hyper micromanagement. Hyper engagement. We spend lots of time visually. We have virtual call sessions. We partner with our real estate company. I just got off of a Zoom call with 400 real estate agents, our mortgage advisors, and some of our executives, engaging each other, working with each other. So, you know, we do contests, we do recognition events over Zoom, award ceremonies over Zoom. So all of these things, in the absence, we have escalated our opportunities to connect with people, both with our business partners and our own people, but not just in a meeting format, in a business development format, if that makes sense. Engaging in activities together.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting, the word engagement. I don't know if you've seen the study by the Corporate Leadership Council. It's an amazing study where they actually interviewed 50,000 employees in 26 different industries, 27 different countries, and they found one common theme among all of them, and that is engagement drives performance. So the more someone's engaged, the higher they will perform. So kudos to you for noticing that.
Casey, you know, in our real estate company, that is the mantra. We, by definition, when somebody is taken, ripped out of their work environment or their cycle or pattern, whatever you want to say, and that goes on for this prolonged period, you know, it's like going to the gym or getting off of your diet. You know, you might gain weight, you might get a little bit of out of shape. I call it, you know, we've lost the ability to flex our work muscles the way we did in the past. And one of the biggest challenges we have across all of our companies is engagement. We are focusing on associate engagement. We are measuring it, we are tracking it, and we have goals of moving from 30% engagement to 40% to 50%. So we are targeting engagement, to your very point. It's the most important thing we can be involved in right now, because Casey, there is no shortage of opportunity out there.
That is for sure. Absolutely. Could not agree more. You know, it's interesting, the engagement piece, because we're really intentional. I think you may know that about Zenix, about building a great culture, being an example of a great culture. And we've been blessed to win, you know, 20 over 20 plus culture awards. And that's all in a tribute to my leadership team. Amazing things, right? You're only as good as your people, right? So when you look at the industry right now, I'm looking behind you. It says Weikert all under one roof. But technically and physically, you're not anymore, the physical aspect of it. Do you find that your employees, the realtors, those you serve, all are enjoying working from home? Are you going to keep that long term? Are you going to bring everybody back in?
I would tell you, I think there was a honeymoon period that everyone loved it. But we're a real people company. And Casey, we're a people business, all of us. Yeah. Anybody in this space, in the home services space, we're in the people business. You know, our owner will tell you that people buy people before they buy goods and services. Mm-hmm. So we have to return to an in-person environment in some form. But to earlier points, they will be hybrid. But I will assure you that the selling aspects of our business are going to work from home. In the absence, we've been highly successful in running joint meetings with our real estate title insurance companies in a combined prospecting manner. So even those who are unaffiliated can do this, Casey. I'm not making a commercial for an affiliated company. If I were in a Brand X environment, I would be taking the lead to engage groups of my business partners and in assisting them to either get engaged or to engage in a different way, because this is a different business today, Casey. You can't just show up the old way and a real estate agent calls a mortgage advisor when they have a client who's under contract. Casey, on our open houses, we have 40, 50, 60 people, 100 people in line to get in, 10, 20, 30 offers at one time, selling 10, 20% over asking, 10 to 100,000 over asking. And it is imperative for real estate professionals and mortgage professionals to engage in the buyer consultation in a very different way today. Mm-hmm. Having escalation clauses in your contract to allow you to be able to just bid on your behalf as a client and to be able to have a client that understands maybe I need to go to a 90 LTV as opposed to an 80 LTV. You know, I have to be prepared that if I'm qualified for 400, I better look at 350 houses or be prepared. So it's an entirely different form of interaction. And I highly encourage folks to be forming an all under one roof model in your own world if you don't have the luxury of being an affiliated company.
Sure, sure. All right. So I want to flip over to leadership. You know, you have obviously you've risen to an incredible position. And if anyone's listening in and they would love to attain leadership or they are currently in leadership, what's the best advice that you would share with them about what makes a great leader?
You know, from my perspective, it's setting big goals and never being afraid of those goals. You have to be fearless. You mm-hmm. have to take risks. You must be convicted in our business, particularly. We are salespeople. You teach sales. I am a salesman at the core. And therefore, it's imperative. It's imperative to just be convicted in what you believe and not let anything take you off of that track. And just keep trying. If you don't fail, you're not trying hard enough or you're not trying enough things. And always throw your hat in the ring. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Most people give up right at the cusp of when they are going to succeed. And so you have to have that confidence, not arrogance, in the fact that we're in a business, Casey, that has long legs. It's going to be done differently. And you need to embrace the change that comes with this. But this will be a business that will always involve people. It may be done differently, but believe in this space. It's not all going to be done in a black box on the computer. It's not possible. So just be convicted about our business because it has long legs.
You know, I love that you said people do business with people. I've been in this and I think you said, how long have you been doing it? 34 years?
34 years. Yeah.
I think I'm 36 years. Ooh, I said that out loud. I normally don't admit it, but anyway, a long time. I got in when I was very young, but I always thought, you know, back then they told us, oh, you're going to get replaced. The computer is going to take your spot. And I'm going to recommend for anybody listening in is yes, technology is here not to replace you, but to augment your ability to communicate. Look at us. We're talking right now on video.
Yeah.
You know, people do business with people. And the reality is the more you make yourself relevant and have relationships with others, is the higher probability you win.
You have to have the mindset that all of these things that we're seeing are simply vehicles in the way that the business is changing. They will make it different, streamline, a better customer experience, more transparency. But at the end of the day, if there's a red apple over here and a green apple over here, somebody's still going to choose which one they like. And a person can make a big difference in that choice. And a relationship will absolutely make a big difference in that choice.
Yeah, there is no doubt. All right. So let's end with this last question. What do you think the future holds for our industry specifically? When is it going to rates go up, fall, et cetera? Obviously, they're ticking up slightly, but how much longer do you think the wave is going to continue?
I think we have what we have right now. You know, first of all, the tech is here to stay. And if you weren't invested in tech or if you're not investing in tech, on our part, we did a lot of investment last year. Thank God. You've got to be in the tech game, period. That's here to stay. And if you're not in it, you got to get in it. Number two, there are more buyers. We have enough of a buyer inventory to last for the next 3 or 4 years. Rates will remain historically low.
Yes.
Not at their lows, but they will remain historically low. Anything in the threes is going to be fantastic. And quite frankly, rates don't influence the home buying decision. They may influence affordability from here to there, but the industry gets creative with other types of products or buy downs or other things that help achieve the goal of home ownership. But we're not going to have a shortage of buyers. We're going to have an interest rate environment that's going to be friendly. You've got to be involved in tech. You have to have a strategy to get more consumer direct. so that, you know, your message is not getting filtered by others. And finally, what I would tell you, the answer to your question is whether inventory will come back. That is the 1,000-pound anchor that's dragging us down. If we had more inventory, Casey, right now, you couldn't imagine the capacity. We wouldn't have enough capacity in this industry. Uh-huh. So we're taking great care, even as mortgage professionals, to assist our business partners and our real estate agents in creating inventory. Mm-hmm. Inventory is not going to come to the market in foreclosure or short sales for a long time. So, you know, this is where the wild card is. But I'm optimistic that as the economy continues to get out of this, people will be moving, and particularly in this new work from home environment, they're going to be looking for space. So it's all in the hands of the inventory. And if that's just a cyclical issue, but our business has a very bright future for the next 2 to 3 years from what we can see and everything I'm reading.
Yes, I just had a young man happen to be doing lawn in my home, and he was with his father, electrical work, and he's in college. He goes, you know, I just want advice. I'm like, what? Right. Which, good for him, right?
Yeah.
What industry do you think I should go into? I'm like, I think I got an easy one for you on that one. He goes, what do you think about commercial real estate? I'm like, I'm not so sure about that part, but I can tell you the mortgage industry is pretty powerful industry to enter. And he's an accounting major.
Yeah,
and
no, absolutely.
Et cetera. And, you know, how blessed are we that I'm like, listen, come take our courses. I can help you find a spot. There's plenty of people who would hire you.
And you mentioned such an interesting transition here, which is, you know, many of us, like me, are, you know, older dinosaurs in the industry. And
me too.
And it's hard for a lot of those folks to change. Trust me, we try to do that all day long with a certain portion of our audience. But, you know, as a young person or a new entrant to this space with no preconceived notions, to be able to go to a company like yours and go through your boot camp and be able to learn this trade for the future.
Mm-hmm.
It has long legs. I will argue that until I'm finished in this space.
Right. Well, there's never a bad time to hire a good salesperson.
That's right.
And if they're a great salesperson, we just need to teach them our trade. That part's easy. It's finding those really good salespeople that are willing to work hard. But I got to tell you, you know, we're sort of a barometer of the industry, Eric. You know, our newbie program for processors, because, you know, we can build a processor from scratch or an LO or LOA or a consumer direct. And as I'm watching our enrollment, because we're sort of a barometer, new people are coming in, they're flooding in, which is exciting.
Yep.
Because I know prior to the pandemic, everybody was worried about the aging sales force, et cetera. But I'm excited to see this young, skilled talent coming in exponentially more over the past year and saying that they don't know anything other than what's currently happening. But when the market shifts slightly, they're going to be equipped. They understand the industry, and, you know, the sales training piece, we have that ready for when, you know, it does fall a little bit. But
it's so funny that you say that, right? I too have noticed, you know, we always have joked, you know, I think everybody entered the business when I did, you know, so we're all in our, you know, mid 50s in this space. Sure. And, you know, it's been a criticism of the population of mortgage advisors, right? Whatever. But I've noticed that myself. We have so many new contemporary individuals who have entered our space. I have one young lady in particular. She started with us as an assistant, and she just had the eye of the tiger. She tried to take her test 3 times and failed. And finally, she made it. She just wanted to get this done. I watched this young lady, and we finally converted her to a mortgage advisor in the heart of this pandemic. And so she didn't know refinances or any of those things. And she came out of the gate in her first 2 months in the middle of the pack of our sales organization, just because, to your point, it is about your underlying talent and skill set, tenacity, eye of the tiger, you pick the word. We can teach anybody this business. It's effectively been the same forever. It doesn't matter what we're selling or doing. It's all about the individual. So I'm so happy to hear you say that. It's been one of the missing links in our industry, I think. And a company like yours who can put people into the workforce is doing a great service for our industry.
No, thank you. You know, I never knew exactly where it would take me 19 years ago when we opened. You know, we went through the 2007-08.
Yeah, oh yeah.
With the industry.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable where we are, right? When you really consider where we were back in 2008 and to say thank you. And now, I mean, all the lessons learned back then, right? And the lessons learned we're learning now, I'm looking at the future going, all right, everybody get ready. Let's have a lot of fun on really taking care of the consumer. So,
and that's, you know, I kind of just coined ton of fun in 21, right? I mean, this was a lot of work, and now it's time for a ton of fun in 21. And I think the opportunity is there. It's all about what's in your mindset, Casey. It's all about your mindset. I just see a very bright future ahead.
Oh, yeah. Same here. Well, what a privilege it is to spend a few minutes with you, Eric. And my father's name was Eric, by the way, E-R-I-C.
Good name.
My father, I have identical twin brothers. And Eric with a K is one of my brothers, okay. E-R-I-C-K. And the other twin, the identical twin, is Elfrick, if you've ever heard that. It's crazy. Anyway. Hmm. Form of Eric, Elfrick. So I have a warm heart for the name Eric.
And, good.
God bless you.
Well, it's so nice to see you. And thank you for having me. I what a career highlight to have an interview with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Blessed to have a lot of friends in this industry. And hopefully we're all making a difference together.
It's all about relationships, Casey, right? In our business, you never know who you're going to run into again in our business. Learned that early on. Look around the landscape. Many of us have been around this for a long, long time. And it's such a nice community to be able to be part of.
It is. Well, God bless you. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thanks. Have a nice night.
You too.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back for new episodes of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast by Zenix, the Mortgage Academy. You can download our episodes wherever you love to listen to podcasts or on our website at zenix.com/insidethemortgagemind.